So Parashas Nasa has the mitzvah of Birkas Kehanim, and Birkas Kehanim has it's Simon Kuf Chav Ches in Arachayim. Birkas Kehanim is one of the longest simonim in Arachayim. Most of it is material that's really only of interest to Kehanim. Do we have any Kehanim here on the table? No. Okay, but there are he's a Levi. Aaron's a Levi. Yes. Certified. But there are a few inyanim that come up in some Kuf Chav Ches that are of a much more general interest. And the first one that we'll talk about is what is just raised, which is the mystery of how come we have these differing minhagim about when we do Birkas Kehanim. Right, everybody that's been to Eretz Yisrael knows that in Eretz Yisrael they say Birkas Kehanim every single day. Here in America, for the most part, our experience has been that we only say it on the Shalosh Regalim, on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, on Yom Tovim, really, right? Also Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So the first thing to say is that there's no question that the Ikar Adin, meaning if you never saw the inside of a shul, you have no idea what the minhag is, but you were just coming from the sources, you would definitely say it should be every day. In the Sefer HaChinuch, it's not a nice place to start because we're doing it al parish of the Sefer HaChinuch, the way he presents the mitzvah, is that the mitzvah on the Kehanim, levarich es ha'om b'chol yoyim. It's a mitzvah to do it every day. Why would it be every day? Well, the Torah says...
Where's the Torah say?
That's a tzivoy, right? That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on Kehanim. And the way it's presented in the Sefer HaChinuch is that it's a mitzvah levarich es ha'om b'chol yoyim. And that's the pashtus of all paiskim. And there's really very little reason to think otherwise. If the Torah gives a mitzvah and doesn't say when you do the mitzvah, the standard assumption is that you do it every day. In fact, there's a very interesting Maor Makom on that topic. It's a tangent from our Birkas Kehanim topic, but we've mentioned a number of times in the past how when it comes to tefillah, there's machlekes Rambam and Ramban. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah to daven midei raisa, there's a mitzvah to daven every day, and the Ramban says no, there's no mitzvah tefillah midei raisa. But there's a very interesting line in that Ramban. The Ramban says, he argues on the Rambam, he says there's no mitzvah tefillah midei raisa. And he proves it from Gemara's, where you see that when a person comes into shul on a regular day, his tefillah is drabanon. Zog the Ramban, the only way you'd be able to get out of the raya is if you'd say that there's a mitzvah of tefillah, but it's not every day. But that, Zakhtar Ramban, that's untenable. Meaning, even though I disagree with the Rambam, who says that mitzvah of tefillah is deraisa, but I agree with him that had there been a mitzvah of deraisa, it would be b'chol yom. Because there's no other way to set it up. The Ramban speaks out almost sarcastically. What are you going to say? It's once a week? Once a year, once a Shemitah cycle? Like, how else are you going to make up a shear of the Torah says to daven? If the Torah would say to daven, so what else would it be? Of course it would be every day. That's what the Ramban says when he's discussing tefillah d'oraisa d'rabbanan. So, okay, we're not talking about tefillah, and tefillah, the Ramban actually holds as d'rabbanan, but Birkas Kehanim, according to all authorities, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And what shear would you give to it? So like the Ramban said, if the Torah doesn't give a shear, so that is our shear. It's once a day, every day. So the pashtus is that it should be every day. The Sefer HaChinuch states explicitly that it's a mitzvah every day. And in the Rambam also, it's stated that the mitzvah is every day. There's really no reason to think otherwise, except that there's a minhag ha'olam. And the minhag ha'olam came ahead of the authorities, meaning we don't find anywhere that someone said, let's only do Birkas Kehanim on the Yom Tovim. What we find is that the Rishonim in Ashkenaz said, we're observing a strange practice. We're only saying Birkas Kehanim on Yom Tovim. Well, where did that come from? And so it really, it starts off like playing catch up. Like the minhag was in effect, and then people are looking for a justification for the minhag. The Beis Yosef, there's a very interesting Beis Yosef, he says that in Eretz Yisrael, he says in Eretz Yisrael and in Eretz Mitzrayim, the minhag is that they say Birkas Kehanim every day, and he says, and I don't remember his expression, he says, that's a wonderful minhag, that's the right way to do it. I noticed something interesting in this Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Mitzrayim, as opposed to where? The Beis Yosef never lived by the Ashkenazim. The Beis Yosef was a Sephardi. He was born in Spain. He didn't remember much from Spain. He was 4 years old in 1492. His family left Spain with all the other Jews in 1492. And he grew up in Turkey. He lived in Turkey till he was around 40 years old. And then he came to Eretz Yisrael. He detoured briefly through Mitzrayim, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he settled in Tzfas. Right, we think of the Beis Yosef as being in Tzfas, part of the Chabura of the Mekubalim in Tzfas. He's buried in Tzfas, right, not far from the Arizal. But his experience prior to Eretz Yisrael was Turkey, which was really, at that time, the main center of Sephardic Jewry in the world was Turkey. So when I see in the Beis Yosef that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael u'Mitzrayim are Sefer Kahanim every day, so what I read in that, right, between the lines, is that in Turkey they didn't, even though they were all Svardim. So this is not a Svardi versus Ashkenazi issue. The Svardim, at least in Turkey in the 1500s, were not doing Sefer Kahanim every day. It was an Eretz Yisrael like a thing. Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim, which is kind of a suburb of Eretz Yisrael, if you will, right, the Middle East, that's where they did. Nowadays, I'm under the impression, I might be wrong, I'm under the impression that it's much more widespread in the Sephardic world. The Persians definitely say Birkas Kahanim every day, if I'm not mistaken. Aaron, could you corroborate that? Yeah. I don't know, you know, there's Iraqi Jews, there's Moroccan Jews, there's a lot of, right, there's Bukharians, there's a lot of different, what?
Syrian.
Right, Syrian, a lot of different kahilas that have their own minhagim. I don't know what everybody's minhag is, but from what I'm aware, the Svardim, to the extent that I'm aware, the Svardim do Birkas Kahanim every day. Meaning, even here in Chutz La'aretz, in America, the Svardim do Birkas Kahanim every day. But at least in the 1500s, it wasn't like that. But it was the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. The Bnei Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim, they're the do Birkas Kahanim every day. So the Yosef goes on, he's saying, okay, what, you know, what could be the justification? He says that, I heard, you know, there's one thing that's brought down in writing that it doesn't really hold any water, but what they say is, because the Kahanim feel that because it's such a holy thing, you can only do it while you're Tahar. You have to go to the mikveh. Balkeri shouldn't do Birkas Kahanim. So you can't expect someone to do that all year long, even though, right, nowadays we know by the Hasidim go to the mikveh every day. But the Beis Yosef apparently never heard of such a minhag, going to the mikveh every day. You can't expect anybody to do that. So he says, so since people aren't tahor all year long, so a yontif, there's a chayav adam l'tayra asasim b'regel. So Yitzhak is supposed to go to the mikveh before yontif. So that's when they do the birkas kahanim. He said that's what he's seen as the justification. He said it's a lousy justification. It doesn't hold any water. There's no real din. It's a nice thing if you want to say I only want to do birkas kahanim when I'm tahor. Okay, that's a nice thing. But you can't go be mevatel on mitzvah saseh because you made up this nice thing. So either make yourself tahor, go to the mikveh in the morning, or do Birkas Kahanim without going to the mikveh. But that's not a good excuse, he says. He doesn't really have a good explanation. He came to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, they do Birkas Kahanim every day. That's great. That's the way it should be. What's interesting about this reason, this rejected reason that he brings down, is that there's a minhag which is mentioned in the Magen Avraham and in the Taz. And I had thought, and I would, you know, I think that the minhag might be totally abolished by now. There's nobody, it could be that there's nowhere anywhere in the world that they still do this minhag, but if that's true, it's only true for the last, like, as of 3 weeks ago. Because there's a minhag that had been all but abolished, but there was a certain shul in Lawrence that was still being noyig this way, and they changed their minhag this past Shavuos. Now, the minhag that the Magen Avraham and the Taz bring down is that we Ashkenazim, that we do Birkas Kahanim on Yom Tovim, but we don't do it when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos. Magen Avraham and the Taz, they both bring down such a minhag. They both say they don't like it. The Taz uses a lashon that ain like tam v'reach, something like that. Like he couldn't, you know, it doesn't make any sense to him. Ain like tam v'reach, doesn't make any sense to him. Now, this minhag is a shul on Broadway and Washington, maybe? I think that's where it is.
Broadway and Washington is
a couple of shuls.
Oh, it's Yom Kippur. Or the big shul.
Beth Shalom.
Beth Shalom is
that's what it is. Beth Shalom. Beth Shalom, I just heard this a few weeks ago. Their minhag was like this. This minhag, it's an ancient minhag. The Magen Avraham and the Taz both bring it down that when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos,
they don't
do Berachas Kehanim. They recently got a new Rav.
Exactly.
And this past Shavuos, the second day Yom Tov was Shabbos, and Rabbi Freundlich said, we're changing the minhag. He said, this is a minhag that was thrown out 400 years ago. Why are we the only people in the world that are still doing this?
All, not the short, meaning they didn't even say the short.
That's the way I heard it said over. I don't know. I never dappened there.
We don't try changing minhagim.
Yeah, right. This is a sensitive subject, right? In Kew Gardens, it's a very sensitive subject. But I heard that actually happened, and this may be the last shul in the world that had this minhag that the Magen Avraham and the Taz. But again, they say not to do it. But what's interesting is that based on this basis, if you could hear where they're coming from, because if the reason why they weren't being Netzach Kapayim every day was because they wanted to do a Petara. They didn't want to do Berachas Kehanim while they're Baal Keri. But on Yom Tif Chayavad L'Tara, Sassu B'Regel, so you're not Baal Keri. But when Yom Tif falls on Shabbos, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that the preferred Leil Oina is Leil Shabbos. So then the Kehanim would be Baal Keri. And then according to the Mikvah Shabbos morning, so that would explain why they wouldn't do Berachas Kehanim when Yom Tif falls on Shabbos.
Why can't they go to the Mikvah?
They wouldn't. They didn't. It wasn't. I know nowadays some people do. Maybe then they also some people did. But that wasn't. At least in some parts of the world, that wasn't considered a reasonable possibility.
My father, I think if I remember right, my father said in Europe on Shabbos they didn't. They wouldn't. If you had to follow the Shabbos.
Really? Yeah. Where was that?
Poland.
Do you know where?
Ah. So they didn't.
Okay. Okay.
If I recall correctly.
Okay, it's not shocking because again, the Magen Avraham and the Taz, they both bring down this minhag. They say they don't like it. I don't think that if I'm not mistaken, the Mishnah Berurah already, it's not brought down. So I had the impression from there that sometime between the 1600s when the Magen Avraham and the Taz were writing, and then around the year 1900 when the Mishnah Berurah was writing, it fell out of use. But okay, maybe there were some places where they were still doing it that way.
So
we didn't get to the Simcha yet.
Well, how about Eretz Yisrael, though? That chumra would apply.
Right, right. There's no reason why that would be any different than Eretz Yisrael. But like the Beis Yosef said, it's not really a good reason anyway. But maybe this, the people that chapped on not to duchen on a regular day, this was their reason. Okay. So the Ramah is trying to come up with a better reason. And the Ramah says something very interesting. This is what a few of you were sort of referring to before. He says, the Pasuk says, Toiv Lev Hu Yivayrach, that a bracha is supposed to be given, it's Freilich HaHartzen, and he says that we hear. He doesn't mention because of the Bahava. I don't think he mentioned that, but you get a nice sushel, fits in nicely. And he says that we hear in Poland, where in Europe generally, life is so tough, and where everybody's minds are always preoccupied with how they're going to get their next meal, and you can't call that a state of simcha. And therefore we refrain from Birkas Kehanim, except on Yom Tif is a macht bechagecha, and even there, this sounds like a joke, but even there, look, listen to this. The Ramah says, and not by Shachris, because again, Meikar Adin, it should be by every tefillah, Shachris Musaf, but he says, but even on Yom Tif, we don't do him by Shachris because we're still not holding by Simcha, but by Musaf. You're about to get out of shul and come to the kiddush, to the yontif suda, to the food and drink. That's the one time in the year that we can say, all right, we're holding by toiv lev. We have happy hearts, and we can do a birkas kehanim. That's the reason the Ramah says for the minhag of Ashkenaz. To that reason, the Magen Avraham brings down when we call Malka minhag garuahu. It's a little lousy minhag. There's just no the mice. That's not an explanation. That's not a good reason. There's no good reason. After you hear the Beis Yosef's reason, you hear the Ramah's reason, and you feel like that's the best we could come up with. So minhag garuahu. It's a lousy minhag. That's what the Magen Avraham says about this minhag.
How come there's no duchening by mincha?
An interesting question. Why is there no duchening by mincha? That's even in Eretz Yisrael. There's no duchening by mincha except when except on a tannis. The reason is because since Birkas Kehanim is an avodah, right? L'sharis l'sharis l'amoy l'fnei Hashem l'varich b'shmoy. It's considered an avodah, and there's an iser d'iraisa, a very serious iser, to do avodah after drinking wine. So we only do Birkas Kehanim when it's first thing in the morning. Shachris, even Musaf, you're expecting not to have eaten before that. Simchas Torah, keep in mind, on Simchas Torah, where it's very widespread that people make Kiddush before Musaf, so we do Birkas Kehanim by Shachris. Because you can't say Birkas Kehanim after Kiddush. So, okay, on a regular weekday, Mincha, so it's not Kiddush, but remember, back in the, you know, a person might have drunk wine, and I think once upon a time it was more common, you know, you got the impression from reading the Gemara, that alcoholic beverages are much more of a staple back then than they are now.
Depends
so, depends where, okay? Depends where now.
Now, exactly.
Okay. In Kew Gardens. In Kew Gardens.
What about Rosh Hashanah where some schools make kiddush for those kids?
They do.
Before Muslim.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the new rabbi.
That's very interesting. Right, in Rosh Hashanah, many people make kiddush before Musaf, but then we do Birkas Kehanim by Musaf, right? I would assume that means that the Kahanim have to make sure they don't drink a reviews of wine. Is anybody telling them that, monitoring that? I don't know. I have to look into that. I have to look into that. It's a good hara. That Rosh Hashanah also, many people make Kiddush before Musaf.
Right, yeah.
And yet we do Birkas Kahanim by Musaf.
The Rebbe goes down to the Mikvah before Kiyah Shofar. And people
okay.
make
I think
Kiddush.
Make Kiddush then.
Rosh Hashanah,
you know,
there's enough.
But it's a halach of drinking or vias yayin. I mean, even if you're not drunk, but maybe it's because over there the musaf is so long, so it will be already like how long after you drink your vias yayin, it's already worn off. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. Anyway, so coming back to the Magen Avraham, says we don't have any good justification for this minhag. So here's where the story gets very exciting. We have no if. Already in the, you know, in the times of the Magen Avraham, it was kind of accepted that this is our minhag, but we're not proud of it. Mm-hmm. So why don't we change it? Why doesn't somebody say, let's start to do Birkas Kehanim, Machal Yayin? So most people would just never do such a thing because they have a minhag that's, you know, that goes back centuries. So there's you know, respect for the minhag. But there are some people, I mean, you know, I'm talking among G'dayli, among G'dayli Achrayim, G'dayli HaPaiskim, there's also some room maybe for personality. You know, there's some people that are more deferential to Darius before them, and there are some people that had more of a independence, more of a self-confidence. The story goes that, well, first I'll tell you what it says in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that if you'll ask, why don't we change this minhag? If everybody seems to agree that it's not a proper minhag, so what we're doing, we've always been doing it, so let's just do it. So why don't we change this minhag? So he writes, Kfar hoya maisa, that shnei g'dayli oilam, he says there were two maisim, by two g'dayli oilam, two great, great people, that tried to change it, and from shemayim they were held back, and they took it as an omen that we're not supposed to change it. Who are the two G'dayli Olam? What were the two Maisim? How were they held back? The Aruch HaShulchan sealed lips. He just gives us this tease. He says, there were two G'dayli Olam, Maisim held them back from Shemayim. So you're going to give away his secret. So the Aruch HaShulchan is, he's being the Neman Ruach Machas Davar. The Aruch HaShulchan's brother-in-law was the Netziv. And you know the other Pasukim Mishlei, the Megal Asoid, the Netziv was apparently much less circumspect with this Masayra. He shares it. It could be that time he was being less circumspect. He was writing in a personal letter to somebody. We have it's printed in the Tshuvos of the Netziv in a letter that he wrote to Bezalel HaKohen of Vilna. He writes the following. He says, "I heard." He says, I think from my father-in-law, his father-in-law was Reb Itzel Volozhiner, the son of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the following two stories, that the Gra, it's Reb Chaim Volozhiner's Rebbe, right? So we have, so the chain would be that the Netziv heard it from his father-in-law, who heard it from his father, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who heard it from the Gra, or knew it from being in the circle of the Gra. And the story was that the Gra, so this is what I meant, that some Achrayim are more independent than others. The Gra, even though, yes, he recognized the Chashivas and, you know, the gravity of Minog Yisrael, but he felt that if it's wrong, it's wrong. And we have to change it. And he decided that we're going to change it for once and for all. And here in Vilna, we're going to start to do Birkas Kohanim every day. And he designated a certain day that tomorrow is the day. Machar Yeh Ha'is Hazeh, this is when we're doing it. That night, before that, the morning that they were supposed to do Birkas Kohanim, he was arrested. Kayidua, the Gra had two occasions in his life that he was brought to jail for various reasons. And the first, I think this is the first such maisa, it happened the day, the night before he was supposed to initiate Birkas Kohanim. He was in jail for a short time, he came out of jail, but then he decided, you know what, maybe this is Simen HaShemayim, that I'm not supposed to do it, I was held back, so okay, let's not do it. Reb Chaim V'lajener, Talmud of the Gra, he decided that he's going to dare to tread where no man has tread before, that if it didn't work by my Rebbe, I'm going to do it. Which, I have to say, is a little bit of, again, you know, the story, this is not Teres Moshe Misinai. You know, this is a little bit in the realm of legend. Even though we have a transmission, right? We have the Netziv saying that, but the Netziv says, I heard it. It's very interesting. He says, I heard it, I think, from my father-in-law. It sounds like it wasn't such a, you know, carefully preserved tradition. So I'm not calling it into question, really. I'm just sort of keeping an open mind about it. I'm being ma'oirer that it's a little bit strange that the Vilna Gaon had decided after being motivated to do it and wanting to do it, but then he got a siman HaShemayim that convinced him not to do it. It's a little bit surprising that then Reb Chaim V'lajener would have said, no, I am going to do it. Like, I'm not impressed with what my Rebbe saw as a siman HaShemayim. But that's the story. The way the story goes is that after the Gra tried and then got dissuaded from it, the Reb Chaim V'lajener, his Talmud, said, I'm going to try. And he also designated a certain day that they're going to start in the Yeshiva in V'lajin. What?
How much later after the Gra?
I don't know. Neither story has a date. We just know that. I mean, I guess theoretically they could have been. It says that it was in V'lajin, but it doesn't say that it was in the time of the Yeshiva. Yeah, it could have been very close to the same time. I mean, he was the rabbi in V'lajin while the Gra was still alive. So
the 1600s?
No. The Gra died in 1798, if I'm not mistaken. And Reb Chaim V'lajener died maybe 1820, give or take, something like that. So I think of this as being a later story, but it could be that they were very close in time to one another. Be that as it may, the Reb Chaim V'lajener decided, tomorrow we're starting Birkas Kohanim. And if you're familiar a little bit with the history of V'lajin, so you know that once upon a time there was a great fire in V'lajin. Now you know the rest of the story. That was the day of the great fire in V'lajin. Half the city burnt down, including the shul, and Reb Chaim V'lajener said, okay, so there was no shachris that morning.
I got the message.
And Reb Chaim V'lajener said, okay, maybe this is not a good idea. What could be pshat? That's not a good idea. So Zak the Netziv, that what they apparently read into the story was that there's some Soid Misisrei Hashkacha that we in Chutz La'aretz are not roy for the Birkas Kohanim B'chol Yom, even though it's a mitzvah to do, and we would never make such cheshbonos on our own. I mean, if there's a mitzvah to do, you have to do the mitzvah. You know, I'll make cheshbonos. Are we holding by that? Are we not holding by that? But once these two maisim happen, maybe they then judge that they're getting a message from Shemayim that it's not proper. We're not on the Madrig in Chutz La'aretz.
But originally, years ago, in Chutz La'aretz, they did the Birkas Kohanim, and then it sort of stopped and they wanted to restart it. Going back, do we know?
It's a good question. How far back does this go?
Yeah.
The Ramah, the Maril, right, the Maril is before the Beis Yosef. I saw it referred to that's talking about in that Gois Maimini. I'm not sure about that. That would be late 1200s. He was the Talmud of the Aram Rutenberg. I didn't see his piece inside though. So that takes it back to the 1200s. It could be that, you know, I think it seems kind of mistaber that if, let's say, in the 1200s, they weren't doing Birkas Kehanim and Ashkenaz, and we don't find anywhere that there was a starting point, and we don't find anywhere that someone decided, let's stop, so maybe that indicates that they never did it in Ashkenaz. I mean, the whole, you know, the Yishuv of Ashkenaz doesn't go back to, you know, time immemorial. It starts around, in the 800s, and maybe around the year 900, and maybe, for whatever reason, they just started without Birkas Kehanim.
Who was Misakin the Yerach Zon every morning without the Kehanim? Is that from Anshe Knesset HaGdolah?
No. That's a later thing. I think that came as part of the Minhag Ashkenaz.
How could we say that if there are no Kehanim? How could we have the chutzpah to say those which belong to the Kehanim?
No, because we're not saying it as a bracha. The tzibur is not giving that bracha to the tzibur. Shlich tzibur is just saying that over here the Kehanim would say a bracha. Mm-hmm. But he's not saying it. Don't feel benched when you hear the Shlich tzibur say that.
He said, we asked God to bend
us. Right.
That's the Birkas Kehanim.
By the way, Birkas Kehanim is also, Hashem says, you know, you can't do make up your own bracha. You're going to say exactly what I'm telling you to say.
Right. And there's about Taitzif there also, right? If the Kohen, when the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that the Kohen wants to add, Yosef Hashem Aleichem Kochem Aleph Pa'amim, because he thinks that's a beautiful thing to say, he's over on Baltaisef.
Yeah. This is the way you should
mention. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's why we don't say Amen. We say, can you hear what's on?
Okay.
Okay. So why there's no Baruch Shalom in Israel, right? They don't say the Baruch Shalom.
Okay. I never heard it described that way. All right, that's the first discussion. That's about Birkas Kehanim and Chutz La'aretz. That's at the very end of Simchuf Chav Ches. The other Indian, I said, I'm going to try to stick to things that are of universal interest, not just for Kehanim. At the very beginning of Simchuf Chav Ches, the Ramah brings down the Gemara that's found in Ksuba Stav Chav Dalet, where the Gemara says that a Zer HaNoseh is Kapav is Oyver Ba'aseh, that a non-Kayin is not allowed to do Birkas Kehanim. It's just for Kehanim. Kehanim are supposed to do Birkas Kehanim. Rashi says it's learned because it says Kaisavarchu Atem Velezarim, that we read in the words Kaisavarchu, you shall bless, talking to the Kehanim, that there's an implication, you and no one else. So if someone else who's not a Kohen tries to do this, do this blessing, he's violating the essay of Kaisavarchu Atem Velezarim. Now, the Mishabura is Ma'irer that this seems to be a big kasha on the Minhag Olam. Again, this is it's a Gemara in Ksubas. It's brought down in the Ramah at the very beginning of Simchuf Chav Ches. And he says, and we don't find that people are makpid on this. Now, at first glance, you'll say, well, what are you talking about? I never saw the non-Kehanim clamoring to go up to the Duchen. Of course, only Kehanim go up. Nobody else goes up there. But what he's referring to is, forget about the Duchen. What about just in interactions between people? Do we never use this bracha? Think of Birkas Habanim. Everybody, when they bench their children, the standard nusach is that a father benches his children with Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha. The Shabura, he doesn't mention the Birkas Habanim. What he mentions is that when people are departing from a friend, somebody's going off and you want to vinch him on, so you say Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha. He says that's the Minhag Olam. So people feel free to use this bracha. Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi, whatever happened to the Gemara that says that there's an Isser Asay for a non-Kayin to use the bracha. So, at first, it might sound like a surprising kasha. No, that's not what it means, right? We're thinking of the context of being in shul with the duchen, the little chazar shats. But the Mishpura speaks out that, of course, all of that can't be the condition of the Isser, because that's the part of the mitzvah day, right? So, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birkas Kehanim is not connected to tefillah. He says v'haraya. The whole tefillah is not d'oraisa. We mentioned earlier in the shir, that's machlokes rishonim. The Ramban holds that there's no tefillah d'oraisa. But even according to the Rambam, the tefillah is d'oraisa. But not Shemayin Esrei, right? Not the nusach, the text that we have. Not a minyan tefillah b'tzibur. All that is not d'oraisa. So to say, right? So if there's a din d'oraisa that a zer can't do the Birkas Kehanim, It has to be defined by the way Birkas Kehanim is defined, Dairaisa. And Tefillah, and Minyan, and Chazaras HaShatz, all of these can't be part of the Dairaisa definition of Birkas Kehanim. So what's the Dairaisa definition of Birkas Kehanim? To say the words, Yivarech Hashem V'Yishmerecha, for a Kohen to give that bracha. So if that's true, then we should all not be allowed to use that bracha. Use other brachas. So use Yetzav Hashem Aleichem Kachem Aleph Pa'amim. Other nice things that you could say to your children. But how could you use a bracha Hashem Yishmerecha? That's a violation of this Itzer Asay, of Azara Nisei Eskapov.
You said before, you're not making a bracha. You don't use a bracha. You just say the words.
So I said before that the Shlich Tzibur, who says in Chazaras Hashatz, he's not saying a bracha.
It's the same thing.
But when a father says it to his children,
bracha.
He doesn't mean it as a bracha.
But you're not saying the bracha.
Can I tell your children that you said that?
Mean it.
When you mention children, Avadi, you mean.
Doesn't mean it as a bracha?
No.
No.
What does he mean?
He's just saying that here the Kehanim say this bracha. Mm. Right? He doesn't mean to be benching the people, he's not talking to us. He's davening to Hashem. But when you face your children and you put your hands on their head, you really mean to be talking to them.
Yeah,
so that's a real bracha.
Now even the Lashon is like that.
You know, you ask, can't go to the bracha. Right. So the Mishnah Berurah says maybe we could resolve it with a Bach. The Bach, he points out that this Gemara in Ksubas is something a little bit troubling. Because, I mean, the Gemara, you can take it at face value, it seems straightforward, that there's an Isra Seif for a non-Kayin to do Pirkus Kehanim. But the strange thing is that there's another Gemara in Shas, this is in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Ches, which seems to contradict it. Now that Gemara is a very interesting Gemara. It's an Agadati Gemara where a lot of times, like one Tana after another was getting up and saying what he was always especially makbid on. Miyamai, in all my days, I never did this or I never did that. And it's like, you know, each Tana was saying what was his special mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yossi got up and he said, Miyamai lo yavarti al debre chaveirai. My special mitzvah was that I was always very agreeable to my friends. Whatever people told me to do, I did. And he says, Yedeani ba'atzmi she'eini kayein. I know that I'm not a kayein. Excuse me. And yet, if my chaverim would tell me lalais leduchen to go up to the duchen, hayisi oyla, I would go up. It sounds like he's saying that he would be willing to join the kahanim on the duchen for Birkus Kahanim, just because he's such a nice guy. So the Bach says, Tait's really already sort of alludes to this kasha. The Bach says that. How do you reconcile that with this Gemara? I mean, I would go up because I'm an agreeable person, and that's a mida toiva, right? That's what he's saying was his special mida, but that doesn't allow you to violate an aveira in the Torah. He brings an interesting raya. He says, as a matter of fact, even if your father would tell you, right? We know if your father tells you, right? Over there, there's a mitzvah day, right? He says, listen to everything your father says, much more than your chaverim. But if your father would tell you to violate an aveira, you're not allowed to violate the aveira.
How could he say that Tzivanu? He's not a kohen.
Right, he wouldn't be able to say Vitzivanu. Maybe he wasn't going to make the bracha. Maybe he was just going to do the Birkas Kehanim, not necessarily the bracha on the Birkas Kehanim. Right. So the Bach says to Miyashi of the two Gemaras, he makes an interesting suggestion. He says that Birkas Kehanim isn't just saying the words; it's the words and the hand motions. The siyas kapayim, using your hands to confer the bracha, that's called birkas kehanim, and that's what's reserved for kehanim. But to do it without the hands, that's allowed. So the Bach, he's coming to Miyashi, the Gemara of the Rabbi Yossi. When Rabbi Yossi says, I would go, if my friends wanted me to go up to the Duchen, I would go up to the Duchen. He means that I would go up to the Duchen, I would say birkas kehanim, but I would keep my hands on my side. I wouldn't use my hands, and like that, I'm not violating the Yisr. Comes along to the Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah says, maybe we could use that to resolve our problem, because the Mishnah Berurah didn't ask about fathers and children. The Mishnah Berurah said that when people are saying goodbye to one another, they use this bracha, and apparently this, I'm not so familiar with this minig, I haven't really seen people do that much, but apparently this minig did not include a nesiyas kapayim. It was just, you should gegez unto hey, yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha, but without holding out your hands. So like that, according to the Bach, you're not over any Yisr. But like I said, the Mishnah Berurah, he asked the Kasha a little bit differently than we would ask the Kasha, because in our experience, this is most familiar to us from Birkas Banim. And Birkas Banim is generally done with hands. People put their hands on their children's head. So that is Nesiyas Kapayim. Maybe you'll tell me, no, the hand motions, when we say the hand motions, it means something very specific. The Kayin holds his fingers in a certain special way, right? Certain, you know, two fingers together, and then a space, and the other two fingers together, and a space, and then the two thumbs together. But all of that, that is for sure not part of the Deiraisa Dika definition of Birkas Kehanim. As a matter of fact, the Beis Yosef brings down that the Rav Yah wrote, again, it's an old minhag, Rav Yah says, this special formula that the Kehanim have of how to hold their hands, I didn't find any makar for it, Ella, that the Darshanim say, that the Rav Yah writes, that the Darshanim, like it's something that was made up by the Darshanim. There's no makar in the Gemara for it, but the Darshanim say, and he says that it's based on a pasuk, what does he say that the Darshanim say? It's based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that describes the Shekhinah as Meitzitz Bein HaCharakim, that the Shekhinah is peering through the cracks. So the Kehanim make cracks. You know, they make it that there's like space and then crack, and a space and then a crack, because the Shekhinah is that way being Meitzitz Bein HaCharakim. Okay, it's a nice minhag, based on maybe a medrash, but it's not the Deiraisa definition of Nesi'as Kapayim.
What do those words mean, Nesi'as Kapayim?
Raising the hands.
Kapayim means hands?
Yeah, well, it also means a spoon.
Palm.
Right, yeah, Google Translate, it would mean carrying the spoons. Mm. But
where do those words come from?
I think Parshas Shemini, it says that Aaron, what's the Lashon? I think it says Vayisa es Kappa Vayivarchim. Mm. I think that's the Lashon of the Pasuk in Parshas Shemini.
Where's the mitzvah said for Kaisav Alkulim? Where's the mitzvah for Kaihanim to do that?
Parshas Nasai.
No, I'm saying, what is the mitzvah?
The way the Sefer Chinuch says it is Lavarich is Ha'am B'chol Yoyim, meaning once a day.
Does it say when and where?
Right. No, so there is a halacha that's connected with Avodah, and therefore, in the Chazaras HaShatz, we put it after the Birkas Avodah. We say the Seyarev by Avodah, they have to go up by the Avodah, then they say it after the Haidah. But it's connected with Avodah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of the 613 mitzvahs.
Oh, yeah.
So the Mishnah Berurah, he resolved his problem by saying, well, we don't do it with the Nesi'as Kapayim. But that's not such a good solution for us if we do it with our children. We put our hands on their heads. That means you're using your hands to give a bracha. L'chair, that's the definition of the Nesi'as Kapayim. So there's another Eitzah that's suggested. This, again, is based on a story. And again, it's a story with... It's not notarized. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's just occurring to me now. It's actually from the same family. I said before that the Netziv and the Aruch HaShulchan referred to this ma'aseh, right? Netziv gave the details, the Aruch HaShulchan left out the details. The two of them were brothers-in-law. The Aruch HaShulchan had a son who was the author of the Torah Tamima. Mm-hmm. Right? So he was the Netziv's nephew. You may be aware there's a art scroll book that came out some 30 years ago or so called My Uncle the Netziv, which is a translation of the Torah Tamim. It's a chapter in the Torah Tamim's memoirs where he's talking about the Netziv. So this is all in the same family. The Torah Tamima writes that he heard a story, said he heard from an Ish Emunim, a reliable person, the following story, that at the Chasana of Rabbi Cheskel Landau, Meirat Tzedek de Vilna. Now, just to unpack that a little bit, so when you hear Cheskel Landau, so the first thing that comes to mind should be Noi de Behuda, one of the Paiskim of the 1700s, was of Noi de Behuda, and others from his name was Rabbi Cheskel Landau. He was the Rav of Prague. He was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon, actually older than the Vilna Gaon. That's not who we're talking. He was never a Rav in Vilna, and the Vilna Gaon was not benching him at his chasana. But there was another Cheskel Landau, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, who was from the following dar, or a couple of days later. He lived till the mid 1800s, maybe 1870 even. But he was a very old man. He died a very, very old man. So the Torah Tamima writes that when this Rabbi Cheskel Landau was getting married, it was still during the lifetime of the Vilna Gaon, because again, he lived a very long life, and he probably married young. So the only guy was an old man, and he came to this Yecheskel Landau's chasana, and he benched him at his chasana with one hand. He put a hand on his head, and he benched him. And people asked him, one hand? Why are you only getting a bracha with one hand? And the Vilna Gaon said, because a bracha with two hands is reserved for the kehanim. So that seems to be, he didn't speak out all kash and teres, but it seems like he's addressing this ha'ara of the Mishnah Berurah, that how can we give a bracha with hands? You're not allowed to do that. And he said that to Erechanami, you're not allowed with two hands, but if you just use one hand, that avoids the problem, and therefore you should just use one hand when you're giving a bracha. That, according to this story, that was the Shitas Hagra. There's two objections that one can make to using that as a solution for our problem. First of all, is that a great way to give a bracha? So the Vilna Gaon said, yeah, let's give a bracha like that. But in the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who actually is, as far as I know, the earliest source for the whole Inyan of Birkas Habanim, not that he made it up, but the earliest place that I know of that it's in print, that there's a minhag for fathers to bench their children with the Simcha Elohim Kefraim Chamanasha and Yibarech Hashem Yishmerecha, is in the Siddur of Yaakov Emden. And over there, he writes a little bit about it. And he writes over there that don't follow those chaseirei das, those mindless people that give a bracha with one hand. He says, because that's not the right way to give a bracha. Yeah, that's a stingy way to give a bracha. Why, you put one hand? You want to give a generous bracha. Let the bounty flow. Two hands. And he says, and what's my raya? He says, when my father gave me a bracha, his father was the Chacham Tzvi, who was one of the Gedolei HaPoitzkim of his time. When my father gave me a bracha, he put two hands on my head. And that's how you should do it. He writes very emphatically to L'Hoitzim in Liban of those chaseirei das that give a bracha with one hand. Obviously, he didn't mean the Gra. I mean, first of all, he was older than the Gra. He was not familiar with this story. This story is anything from the Gra of Seif Yamov when Rabbi Yaakov Emden wasn't alive anymore. Okay, it's not a, it could be that if that's the way the Vilna Gaon gave brachas, he gave brachas like that all of his life. It could be, but there's no reason to think that Rabbi Yaakov Emden Chas v'Shalom, of course, he would never have written that if he was referring to the Vilna Gaon. But apparently there were people out there that were saying that you should give a bracha with one hand because he felt it necessary to speak out. No, that's a stupid idea. Don't do that. Don't follow that.
Yaakov did it with his children.
So that's a very interesting thought. Was Yaakov Avinu's bracha a one-handed bracha or a two-handed bracha? It's a child. Do you look at the Chefza or the Gafra?
Yeah.
From the recipient, each child, Ephraim had a hand on his head and Menashe had a hand on his head. But Yaakov Avinu was using his two hands to give a bracha. I don't know. If we use that as a precedent, I'm not sure what it should tell. It's an interesting question. Al-Kopanim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden is very critical of this idea of using one hand to give a bracha. Okay, you could say FLPK, you want to do that. That's what the Vilna Gaon recommended. The other...
What? Two kids at the same time, do it like Yaakov, so it has similar...
Oh, right, you're right. Okay. Also saves time.
Okay. Do you do it to girls or just boys?
No, girls also. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that to girls you should do Yisimecha L'Kimke Sarah Rivka Rachav Aleha, which that very likely he may very well have made up.
And Ephraim Menashe by the
boy. Right. Mm-hmm. But that Ephraim Menashe, that's a pasuk.
Yeah.
But Sarah Rivka Rachav Aleha, that's an invention.
Do you see any way that Stama Bracha, not this Bracha of Birkas Kahanim, Stama Bracha, people put their hands on your head? You should
grow up to be Tam Chacham.
You see them? No, it's only the Bracha of Birkas Kahanim that we're discussing.
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
A bris.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did it 2 weeks ago. I did 100 of them. I had two hands.
But you give that bracha.
But what did you bench, people? You just made up your own brachas?
Kind of went with it. Yeah,
just speaking from the heart.
Yeah.
Grandma Yotzim and Alev.
I took requests.
Okay, that's very nice. That's very nice. And with hands, I'm just trying to think now. I remember by my oldest son's upsharon, we took him to Reb Zelig on the day of his upsharon for a bracha. trying to think. He definitely didn't say, you know, he didn't use any formal text. He was just, he said, if I'm not mistaken, he said, Zolav Eisvachs and Gesund und Stark. I think that's what he said.
Where does that manner come from?
And I'm trying to, I think he put a hand on his head. But you know what? I can't vouch for that.
Where's the minute for the sounding to entitle them to give prophets?
I don't know. So that's one objection. The other objection is from the other end, meaning, you know, one could object from the perspective of the bracha. Is it a high quality bracha like that? But it's also from the perspective of the iser. Does it avoid the iser? If a kohen, let's put it this way, if a kohen is paralyzed on one side, and he can only do Birkas Kehanim with one hand, is he Yotzei his mitzvah? Nafkamina, could he make the bracha? No, I don't mean the bracha of Yerecha, the bracha of Asher Kedeshanu.
No,
what?
The
right.
Oh, okay. Let's say he's not paralyzed. He's too shvach to pick up his hand. That's a good point. I don't know.
That's why they cover themselves with a talus.
There's a tshuva about this in the Avnei Nezer. I'm not sure about your aura whether that's correct. I mean, not every mum disqualifies a kohen. I don't know if you're right that this would disqualify him from Birkas Kehanim, else being conspicuous. But there's a tshuva in the Avnei Nezer in which he tries to bring rice from different places in Shas, not about Birkas Kehanim, but he tries to, like, you know, shtel to other areas of halacha that maybe will shed light on this. And he ends up mesupik, whether the two hands are ma'akev. You definitely need a hand. Do you need two hands, or is it enough with one hand? He's blibes by a suffix. If you hold that one hand is good enough for the mitzvah, then you haven't evaded the iser by using one hand. So this eitzah from the Gra has, you know, two objections that could be raised against it. But aside from all that, lemaisa, it's not the minhag ha'olam. Meaning we're still left with a shvera minhag. The minhag ha'olam is that most fathers use two hands when they bench their children, and we don't have a justification yet for that. So back to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says he wants to suggest a second possibility. His second possibility to explain why we use this bracha. He says because we don't have kavanah for the mitzvah. Mitzvah, if you hold mitzvah is kavanah, I'm not doing it with kavanah for the mitzvah. So, now, what's he talking about? We're not dealing with the mitzvah, we're dealing with an avera. What he means is that if I wouldn't be yotzei the mitzvah of Birkas Kehanim with this, then I'm not over the avera of Zer HaNaseh as Kapav. And if you hold mitzvah is kavanah, and I'm doing it without kavanah, so I'm not going to be over the avera. And then he says, and even if you hold mitzvah ain't tzvich as kavanah, and he pulls out a trick that we actually talked about a few weeks ago. This is a Mishnah Berurah that we discussed during Sefiras HaOmer. The Mishnah Berurah said it's a negative kavanah for sure would help to make it that you're not doing the mitzvah. But who's having negative kavanah? Who's even thinking about it? But what he says is that since you're not doing it the way that the kahanim usually do it, which is in shul by davening with a minyan, not that any of that is really prerequisite for the mitzvah, like we discussed at the beginning of the shiur, that's all not deraisa. But since you're not doing it the way the kahanim usually do it, that's like a gilui das that you don't mean to be doing it l'shem the mitzvah's birkas kahanim, and that gilui das turns it into like kavanah shloi latzeis. We said mamish this svar that we learned in Mishnah Berurah that said this svar about sviras ha'omer, that even though the sviras has shavuos, it's not ma'akev. If your friend says what's tonight, you say it's the 34th night of the omer. So really, the shavuos are not ma'akev. The fact that you didn't say that it's 4 weeks and 6 days, that's not ma'akev. But since if you were doing it for the mitzvah, maybe you would surely have mentioned the Shavuos. So by not mentioning this, like a gilui das, that you're doing it shalom l'shem mitzvah, and it's like negative kavanah, and therefore you're not fulfilling your mitzvah like that.
You shouldn't mention
kids
in shul?
So the, during davening, right, during, the, you know.
Especially
the up on stage. So the Mishnah Berurah says that we could use this over here also for Birkas Kehanim. Now, This is the Mishnah Berurah. He says that you could, you know, that this is a justification for the minhag that you could rely on. So that's a psak, bottom line, la halacha. I want to be ma'ayver, not la halacha, but just the shame talking and learning, that I really don't understand. To me, it seems very surprising that he would think that this is totally a mitzvah tzuriches kavana. Over here, the issur is totally on the mitzvah. I understand we use those considerations when we're dealing, let's say, with Baal Tosef. By Baal Tosef, there's an aveira. What's the aveira? The aveira is to do a mitzvah. Baal Tosef means you're not allowed to add on to a mitzvah. So to do a mitzvah when it's not the right time for the mitzvah, under some circumstances, that's Baal Tosef. In that context, we bring a mitzvah tzuriches kavana because, meaning, we it has to be done with the rules of a mitzvah because that's how the aveira is defined. The aveira is to do a mitzvah when you're not chayav to do the mitzvah. But over here, the aveira is to do the mitzvah birkas kehanim. I mean, if he's not a kohen, of course he can't do the mitzvah birkas kehanim. The aveira is, I would say, to steal the kohen's bracha. It's like a me'ila type of aveira. Now the Torah said this is a privilege that's reserved for the kehanim, and if somebody else takes it away, that's like taking away something that doesn't belong to him. The aveira shouldn't be totally on that you mean for it to be a mitzvah. The aveira should be totally on that you mean for it to be a bracha. If you don't mean for it to be a bracha, then yeah, then you're not using the Birkas Kohanim as your own bracha. But if you mean for it to be a bracha, then that's the aveira. That's exactly what the Torah said not to do. For you as a non-Kohen to use Birkas Kohanim as your own bracha, that's not allowed. So for that, it shouldn't really help that it's done without kavana, Mrs. Zvich's kavana. So that's a ha'ara that I have on the Mishnah Berurah. But I got myself into a little bit of a different problem with that. I always thought, because of this ha'ara, I decided that, you know, since to me, you know, it seems schwer, so I decided I wasn't going to rely on it. So from the time that I had children, when I bench my children, I don't use the Birkas Kehanim. I say other things. I start Simcha Lekim Kefraim B'Menashe. There's no harm in that. And then, you know, you could just say that. Or if you want to add something, so there's lots of beautiful things you can make up yourself, whether you could take from different places in the Siddur or in the Chumash. I say other things when I do Birkas Kehanim. And my intention was that, like that, I'm avoiding this whole Shaila. It just this past Shabbos, when I was working on this Inyan, I noticed something very surprising. In this piece in the Torah Tumima, where he brings down the story about the Gra, it is how it's written. The Gra gave a bracha to Rabbi Cheska Landau with one hand on his head. And they asked him, why only one hand? And he answered, because a bracha with two hands is reserved for the Kehanim. It doesn't say anywhere in the story that he was saying the Birkas Kehanim. Now, I'm not. You can't make diukim from the way the Torah brings down a story, but not necessarily. But the way that it's written, what it sounds like is that the Gro is saying that using your hands to give a bracha, that's the definition of Nesias Kapayim. And when Chazal say that a Zor is not allowed to be Nesias Kapav, it means he can use his hands to give a bracha, regardless of what bracha it is. It wasn't limited to Birkas Kehanim. That's what it sounded like to me from this story with the Gra. Now that would be a new chumra. That would mean that
it's a kula.
You
could say Birkas Kehanim without your hands.
Right. Certainly, if you do it without your hands, right. That the Mishnah Berurah said b'shem the Bach, and right, the Gra is agreeing with that and is being even more makel. You could even say it with one hand as long as you're not using two hands. But the chumra of it is that what it sounds like is that he holds that if you are using two hands, then it's usur. Even if you're making up your own bracha. So that was a new idea to me. Again, I don't know that it's right. It's just the way somebody told over the story. Maybe it wasn't told accurately. But the way that it's written, it sounds like the Gra held that the Isser is totally on the hands, not on the nusach that you use. Now, a final thing. So we're left with this minog. The whole Birkas Abana Minhag is objectionable in some ways. Again, there are some yeshuvim. The Mishnah Berurah says he's satisfied with the Kavana solution, but there are objections that could be raised. There's a piece in the Sefer Hafla that's Rav Pinchas Horowitz. He was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer. That's what he's most famous for. He's the Rav of Frankfurt in the 1700s, the late 1700s. And he in his Sefer on Maseches Ksubis, remember this all started in Maseches Ksubis, Daf Chav Dalet. He has a very original pshat in that Gemara, not like the Rishonim. It's an important Maror Makom for a variety of reasons, but I think that it's helpful for our discussion also. it's a very famous piece because he makes up over there a chiddush. He's not the only one that says it, but he has the following chiddush that kishem shemitzvah al kehanim levarich. Kach, there's a mitzvah on the Yisraelim lihisbarech. Birkas Kehanim, he says, is a two-part mitzvah. The Kehanim have their part, the Yisraelim have their part, and it's a mitzvah for everyone. I know there are some people that are makbid. If a yantif comes, it's supposed to get on Shavuos. That's where I've seen it, on Shavuos. Shavuos, you know, a lot of times, you have the early morning minyan, which is a very small minyan. Not every very small minyan is going to have Kehanim. But it's Yom Tov. It's just a few times in the year that we have Birkas Kehanim. So I saw once by a very, very chashuv Talmid Chacham, Rav David Willig, that I saw that he came to a different minyan after he finished davening in his shul, Shavuos morning. I was in Shaar HaTorah. In Shaar HaTorah they daven more slowly. And he came to Shaar HaTorah for the end of davening. And I asked him afterwards, why? He said, because we didn't have any Kehanim. So I said, okay, so what's that your problem? You're not, it's not your mitzvah. So he told me over this hafla. That's where I first heard it. That because of this hafla, that he as a Yisrael, he's not a Yisrael, he's a Levi, but he as a non-Kayin, has a mitzvah, liyos min ha-mizbarchim, and it was Yom Tov, and he didn't get it, that mitzvah in shul, so he came and did it here. Now, the hafla says, where did he get that from? Where does it say this mitzvah? So what is the nature of this mitzvah? So the way he says it is like this. He goes, you could really call this going off into left field. He says, in Yibum, if you've learned Maseches Yevamos, so even if you don't remember all the nitty-gritty details of every case, but you'll probably remember that there's a lot of discussion in Maseches Yevamos about Aseh Dechalei Saseh. Because there's talk, right, because every Yibum is really inherently a case of Aseh Dechalei Saseh because there's an aveira going on over here, and then there are special cases of Yibam where the Yavam is usher to the Yavam. So there's a few places in the Masechta where this discussion comes up. So the first one is Kakasha, Asei Dechalei Saseh, who has the Asei? The Yavam, right? The Torah says Yavam or Yavayelah. So it sounds like it's a mitzvah Asei on the Yavam. But the Lei Saseh, let's say that you're being over the Isra Eish Asach, is on both of them. Or you're over the Isra of Amon El Kain Gadol. The Isra is on both of them, and Amon is not allowed to marry Kain Gadol, just like Kain Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amon. So how can we talk about Aseh Dechalei Saseh? Good, he has an Aseh and a Lei Saseh. That is Aseh Dechalei Saseh. But we want her to be Dechalei Saseh. We want her to be over the Lei Saseh too. She doesn't have an Aseh. It must be that she does. If the Gemara could talk about Aseh Dechalei Saseh, it must be that the Yavama also has a Mrs. Aseh. Where is this Mrs. Aseh? I could turn the whole thing of Torah upside down. I'm not going to find any puzzle other than Yavama Yavayelah. That's talking to the Yavama. It's not talking to her. So Zok Tehafla, because if the Torah gives someone a mitzvah, and that mitzvah can't be done without the participation of another party, that means that obviously the ratzon that Torah was that other party should cooperate, participate. That's called a mitzvah. If the Torah identified you as the supporting cast for a mitzvah, that makes it a mitzvah for you. And therefore the Yavama, since a Yavam can't do Yibam without the Yavama, so the Yavama as supporting actress, right? Mm-hmm. Leading supporting actress. That makes it a mitzvah for her.
So a woman has mitzvah
for her. So in the same way, right, even though she doesn't have that, that's a kasha that some people talk about it that on this hafla, because the Gemara over there says clearly that she doesn't. V'tzarechian. Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of that. But this is the state of the hafla. And the hafla says that based on that, I can say by Birkas Kehanim also. The Torah told the Kehanim to go be Mavarich es Ha'am. But they can't do it without the So we have the role of supporting actor, and that makes it a mitzvah for us. So we also have a mitzvah. Okay, and then Zok the hafla, so why is this piece on Ksubas Daf Chavdal? Because that's where the Gemara says that there's an Isser Asay for Zer to do Birkas Kehanim. He says, you know what's the Pshat in the Isser Asay? So he wants to say, not like Rashi, who said that it's derived from, it's a diyuk from the Lashon of Kosev Aruchu Atem V'loi Zarim. It's because if it's duchening now, and the Kehanim are giving the bracha, and you go up and join them, then you're not, you have a mitzvah now. You have a mitzvah, liyetz menam is barchim. And if you're going to go join the Kehanim on the duchen, then you're not in the audience, which is where you belong. So you're being mevatel the mitzvah of being min hamizbarchim. That's why a zera noisit kapa v'zayver basay. That's his original pshat in the Gemara. Now, what that means is that if this is the right pshat, then it's only an iser b'shas birkas kayanim. The iser is not for a zera to say birkas kayanim. The iser is for a zera to go up on the duchen when he belongs in the audience. Yeah. But if it's not duchening time now, if I'm sitting at home by my Shabbos studa and I'm giving a bracha to my children, so I'm not taking myself out of the birkas kahanim when I do this, so then there's no iser. So according to the hafla, the whole kasha doesn't start. According to the hafla, there's no objection whatsoever to our minog. Now again, this it's not, you know, it's a mechudesh dekab shat. It's not like Rashi. It's also not like Taisis. But at least according to the hafla suggestion, that's a new solution to this problem.
If there's a minion,
they have to be invited. Let me see where my battery is. Hold on. It wasn't charging it before. It's at 32. What are we doing? We're going to the highway. Okay, so I'm going to go this way. Oh, yeah. I have to put on the seatbelt.
In 600 feet, turn left, then turn right.
Whoa, it's on. Is that you? Could you please? That's in your seatbelt? Okay. Fine.
Then turn right on Ring Road.
Wait, does this car have an extra port?
Turn right on Ring Road.
What?
No.
Okay. I'll let you watch one postman pat and then we'll put it back over here, okay?